Thank you. Again, we come to our studies in the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, dealing with this man, Elijah, the prophet of the Lord. For those of you who have not been listening in, may I say, we're taking a brief series on this man, Elijah, for two or three reasons. For your own heart's need, and to give us a glimpse of the condition in Israel, and how God met that condition, and of our present day, and the need for men like Elijah. You remember his name meant Jehovah is my God, or Jehovah is my strength. And in our last lessons, we were dealing with the fact that he came into the presence of the king of Israel, the king Ahab, an idolatrous king, one of the worst kings of Israel. His wife was Jezebel, wicked Jezebel. And he could say to this king, Jehovah, before whom I stand, the heavens will be closed at my word. And I'm repeating what I have said. When a man comes out of the presence of God, who is King Ahab or anybody else? For the righteous are as bold as a lion. And then the word of God had become his word. Quoting, of course, from Deuteronomy chapter 11. For God had said, when you come into the land, if you go into idolatry, I will shut the heavens to you. So Elijah became God's messenger to the king, that he was going to shut the heavens because of their sin. And then God said to him, after the heavens were shut, you go down to the brook Cherith, which is by Jordan, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Go and hide yourself. And for 6 months, he was down there by the brook, doing nothing, just in obedience to God. However, I am sure of one thing, that while he's down by the brook in the desert, being fed by carrion, he was in touch with his God. Just like Paul went down into Arabia, it was there that God met with him and gave him the revelation of the grace of God and the church of Christ. So it is when you and I get alone with God, he reveals himself to us. All he asks of us, of you and of me, is obedience, of submission to his will. And I say again, sometimes it is very hard to wait, especially after you've had such a victory. Here's a man who has shut the heavens. He's had a touch of omnipotence. The word of God became his word, and the heavens were shut. Now go and hide yourself. I say again, there was no room for egotism. He obeyed. Now we come to the second test. Verse 8 of chapter 17 of 1 Kings, I read, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now remember, in verse 4, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Now I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. And where are you to go? To Zarephath. Where is Zarephath? Zarephath is up there near Sidon. This is Jezebel's country, by the way. And this man had to go through a country where the inhabitants were opposed to him and where the king wanted to kill him. In fact, they had sent messengers out to try and find Elijah to kill him. He went through it and came to a Canaanite. I have commanded a woman, a widow woman there, to sustain thee. Allow me to read from the fourth chapter of Luke's Gospel. For Jesus refers to this. And he said in verse 24, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. I remember they were, our Lord had come on down into Galilee, and they wouldn't, to Nazareth, and they wouldn't receive him. We know who you are. We know who you are. You're just a son of Joseph. And the Lord says, a prophet is not accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, Jesus is speaking, I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, or the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And you know, he follows that through with the cleansing of Naaman the leper, and they were so mad at Jesus, they were ready to throw him over a cliff and kill him. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. I again say, it's a second test. There's no room for egotism here either. 6 months fed by ravens. This man who had shut the heavens performed such a miracle. Fed by ravens. Now you're going to live on a widow. This is God's provision. You and I would never have planned a thing like that. Neither would this man Elijah. But God did the planning. God was caring for his servant, and God knows how to do it and when to do it. Listen, friend, go down and hide yourself. 6 months. Now God says, when the brook dried up, Elijah could have said, now what? Now what? And the Lord says, you go up to Sidon, a place called Sarepta. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now let me read the context. So he arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as Jehovah thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as you've said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after that you'll make one for yourself and one for your son. For thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Go to Zarephath, which is about 80 to 100 miles away, near Sidon. And by the way, the word Zarephath means smelting furnace. As I said a while ago, this is in Jezebel's country. It's where she came from. He had to go through his own country, as I said a while ago, which was full of enmity toward him. And by the way, the calamity, the drought, the famine, was not because of Elijah, but because of the sin of his people, because of the sin of Israel. Why were the heavens shut? Because they were in idolatry. And my friend, they knew if they had gone to the word of God, they would have known that this idolatry could not go on without the judgment of God. So we have here them in idolatry, and now Elijah must go to Sarepta. He must be sustained by a widow. By the way, you know that the verse comes to my mind in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where Paul said to the Philippians, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will always in some way take care of his people. And the annals of church history and the annals of missionary endeavor are filled with how God supplies the need of his people. He still loves us. He never leaves us. He'll meet your need. In fact, I just feel this today as I'm talking to you. I'm talking to somebody who's really needing this. You wonder if God is dead, if God has forsaken you, if God has forgotten you. No, my friend, he never forgets. He loves with an everlasting love. And in his own time, at the right time, he'll meet your personal, individual need. Go to Sarepta. I have commanded a widow woman to feed you. I say again, there's no room for egotism. It's time to move. And so, when he got his marching orders, he moved. And you know, sometimes we scheme and we fret and we plan. As I said a while ago, it's very hard to wait. But God doesn't give all his plans at one time. I wish I knew what God was going to do with me 6 months from now. No, a day at a time is good walking. It's good walking. Now, he's going to be fed by a widow. A widow shall sustain thee. It's enough. It's a blow to his pride, ravens and widows. It would have been far easier for God to have said to him, Elijah, I want you to go up into Sarepta, and you take care of a widow and her son. No, God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, as Isaiah 55 says. But I read this, he obeyed in verse 10. And he arose, and he went. Now notice when he meets the woman. Is this man... In fact, when I read this, the first thing, boy, this man Elijah's selfish. Listen to what he says. He says, fear not, verse 13, you go and do as you have said. Get your sticks together and go ahead and make your cakes. But make me thereof a little cake first. And after you make me a cake, a tortilla, then you go ahead and make some tortillas for yourself and your son. Feed me first. But listen, with that command, there was a great promise attached to it. Listen to it. For thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Do you know, I can just see her. I can just see her with a little clay, with her little clay oven. I've seen it in other parts of the world where they're poverty stricken and they'll take just two sticks and put them together, have a little fire just with two sticks under the little clay thing upon which they bake their tortillas. And the moment the tortillas are baked, they pull the sticks apart and put the fire out. They're so poverty stricken, they don't want the sticks to burn up because they can use them again to bake whatever they want. I can just see this little widow taking her two sticks and setting them afire and taking the meal in the oil and putting these little cakes on this little clay oven and cooking them. And Elijah says, you give me one first. But I say with that, there's a promise. This cruse of oil will never get down and the barrel of meal will never be empty. It'll be full of meal until the day that God sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the word of the prophet. Not only his obedience, but her obedience. She becomes a woman of faith. The Lord couldn't find one in all Israel. But he found one, a little starving woman in Sarepta in Canaan. Why didn't God send Elijah to some rich woman in Israel to take care of him? No, you go to a widow. I say again, there was no room for egotism. What a blow to all pride. Now mark her experience in verse 15. She went and did. She trusted not only the prophet, but she trusted Jehovah, the God of Israel. And she learned the presence of God through his servant. And may I say here, the provision lasted right to the famine. It was a day-by-day trusting God. Now, I don't believe that the barrel was filled to the top the next day. No, there was enough meal in the barrel for each day. And each day there was enough. For 3 years, he lived on a woman. What was he doing? Just living there, doing nothing. enjoying the presence of Jehovah. Over there you could see the famine. People were hungry. 3 years without rain. And here he is staying with a little woman, hidden away up at Sarepta. God took care of this little family, widow, her son, and Elijah. 3 years living on tortillas. You know, I've oftentimes wondered about that. I wonder how you and I would take it if we were to live three years and we had tortillas for breakfast and tortillas for lunch and tortillas for dinner. How soon would you be growling? How soon would you be objecting to this? Tortillas for breakfast, tortillas for lunch, tortillas for dinner. My, if we had the same meal 2 days running, we say, what's the matter here? Can't you get something else beside this? I want to tell you, my friends, we're spoiled in this country. We're an affluent society, and we've missed something of the presence of God in his divine provision for his people. And for 3 long years, this man, the prophet of God, who had shut the heavens, living on a widow. But God was with the widow and with Elijah. And for 3 years. And you know, when it came to the end of the 3 years, you know what she said? In verse 24, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. I tell you, to live like that for 3 years, just sitting, and to be called a man of God. No murmuring, no disputing, no growling because they had the same meal 3 times a day. I want to tell you folk that we Christians in America, and I'm including myself, we're so spoiled. God has just showered upon us so much. And I'm sorry to say that most of us are very ungrateful. We don't take what God gives to us. We growl because we haven't got as much as somebody else. We don't like this and we don't like that. Oh, to be men and women of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. And I want to say very bluntly, the time may come. I'm not prophesying. But the time may come when we who really love the Savior will find that in this country, God's going to look for people who'll walk with him in the midst of any and all circumstance. And just as God took care of his prophet, whether by ravens or by widow, God will take care of you and God will take care of me. And now as you follow on through from verse 17 to the end of the chapter, you have another little incident where her boy took sick and died. And you had the confession of her sin and her repentance. In verse 18, O thou man of God, have you come to call my sin to remembrance, to slay my son? Apparently, there was some sin in her life with respect to her son. I'm not going to investigate it. I'm not going to guess. Suffice to say that the presence of the man of God in her home was such that when her boy took sick and died, she believed this was the judgment of God upon her for her sin. And Elijah came and raised the boy from the dead and gave him back to her mother. And she said, by this now I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah, is in thy mouth. So you have here, after the test, you've got real victory. Have you? Whether you're in the desert with its daily chores, or whether in a place where you've got to keep quiet and just trust the Lord. I confess to you, I would have a hard time doing what Elijah did, to sit for 3 years and live on a widow. And as far as I know, he did nothing except commune with God. Oh, how we have distorted values. I again repeat it, my friend, the great yearning of the heart of God for you is that you may have and enjoy his fellowship. This is why he saved you. This is why he redeemed you. And let's get straight in our values. The most important thing in your life and my life is to enjoy the fellowship with Him day by day. May this be your portion today, to walk with Him.